Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Chris Maselli from Locked On Avalanche, and with me, after a two-week absence, back and flexing the pipes, it is Mr. Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning. What's going on, my friend? How you been?
I've been good. As you could tell, I've been doing absolutely nothing but push-ups since then, so... great to be back on after
not
some...
painting is what you
no I had all the time in the world to paint and I just never got
now,
around to it.
I do see behind you what appears to be the makings of a man cave dedicated to the New York Mets. Is that, or is that just colors I'm seeing? Feel like it's Mets colors behind you.
It is Mets colors. Yeah. I took over my childhood home from my parents and never got around to painting my childhood room.
Yeah.
So this is the work of 9-year-old Adam that I have to, now that I'm a grown man and I'm turning this into a man cave, I have to do some work on that.
I'm sure that's exactly what they wanted with their house is you to turn it into a Mets shrine, but that's what's happening. So what do we got today? On today's show, we will be some news coming out today. The specific players we're going to name are not going to be playing for the foreseeable future for different reasons. So we'll get into those players and the teams that they play for and all that fun stuff. We will also get into each division and who we think is going to be that fourth team in for each division. Because if you look at the divisions right now, it's like the top three teams seem to be set. And I think in every division, the fourth spot is up for grabs. So we'll get into who we think will be the fourth team in each division. And then to kind of take it off from there, we'll get into kind of like the three matchups we would love to see in the Stanley Cup final. So let's get going with the whole thing. News coming out. Jack Eichel's been on the shelf for a little while, and we got official word that he will be out for the rest of the season. He has a neck injury. Will have surgery on it. Not believed to be serious in terms of long-term. It's not really going to affect anything beyond this year. So we'll start. Well, and then the other ones are Ben Bishop and Alexander Radulov for the Stars. They are both out for the rest of the season. And Philip Grubauer, who's been the workhorse for the Colorado Avalanche, is added to the COVID list. So as we're kind of winding down towards the end of the year, some players are finding their seasons cut short. So we'll start with Eichel. Whether or not the Sabres would have been in the running for a playoff spot, this would have happened regardless. This is not just them shutting him down because, you know, they are long gone from their season being anything of substance. But do you think this could be a lingering thing for him? I mean, it's a neck injury and it's, you know, they say with surgery, he'll be okay, but
yeah,
who knows?
This is just the herniated disc. Unless there's some other underlying things that are going on with his neck or his body or his soul and will to come back and play hockey in Buffalo, I don't see this being a lingering thing. I think eventually this won't affect his, because it looks like all signs pointing to Buffalo trading him away for a bunch of draft picks. And this most likely won't affect his trade value. I think teams will probably wait till he's fully recovered and see how he plays just as a precautionary measure. But I think we all saw this coming. He's been out for at least the beginning of March, right, Chris?
It's been a while. Yeah.
And so I think this is the smart thing on his end too. Regardless if it was a herniated disc or something else, I think that Eichel was going to sit out the rest of the season just because of just how terrible Buffalo's been, and there's absolutely zero reason for him to be playing.
Right.
And this isn't going to make or break. This isn't going to be the difference between them winning 11 games or 15. So, yeah. So I think this is a smart thing all around. And, you know, the fact that now that they shipped out Taylor Hall, he's really, and Montour, I don't, there's really nothing else for him to come back to. So
yeah,
not surprised here.
You'd have to think, even if he was healthy, how much longer did they leave him out there? Because yeah, I mean, he's going to maybe want to demand a trade even more so.
Yeah.
And if you leave him out there, now he's out on an island, not having Taylor Hall there to help him out. Not that he was really doing much anyway,
yeah.
But you know, I think we would have seen this whether he is healthy or whether he had, you know, a neck issue. So Eichel out for the remainder of the season. Ben Bishop and Alexander Radulov for the Stars. Now, this could be interesting because we'll talk about the Stars in the next segment when we do our last team in, the fourth team in. This could have some effect on them. Bishop is out with knee surgery. And according to, I love the headline for Radulov, forward to have core muscle procedure. Now, what's the core muscle? And you froze.
It's probably an abdominal tear. it's probably an abdominal strain. I mean, tear. This is the same injury that Steven Stamkos had last season too. So,
oh, is it really?
Yeah. So, except his actually went from on that goalie score in the Stanley Cup Finals. It actually, he re-tore it and then it went all the way down to his groin. So that's a little different there.
And when you say tore and groin in the same sentence,
it's the worst.
It makes
it's
men cringe.
Yes. with what that means for the Stars is, I mean, they've been having a good season. They haven't been having the season that they probably expected. For what that means for them in terms of personnel, Ben Bishop hasn't really played a bunch of games this season. And then with that added with Anton Khudobin kind of going down with some bruises and injuries here and there, that kind of lays the goaltending responsibilities upon Jake Oettinger, who I'm sure I would love to hear a lot of hockey fans that are not Star fans know who that guy is. but this could, you know, if those are two names that really mean a lot to this team in terms of their success, I don't think that, and we'll talk about this more in the next segment, I don't think this really would have made a huge difference for them because they're 7 points behind out of the fourth spot. So, and Nashville's been playing great lately.
Yeah.
So I don't really see this. I think this is more of another kind of like what we saw in the Eichel situation. I think they're just, you know, telling guys not to force their way through the season because I think Dallas has kind of come to terms with the fact that they're probably out of it at this point in time. So,
okay, never know. And then finally, Philip Grubauer is added to the COVID list for the Avalanche, and good timing for the Avalanche to pick up a goalie at the trade deadline because that was the talk for them all year long, needing backup goalie help. They finally get it in Devan Dubnyk. And they're going to need to rely on him at least for the next 2 weeks because that's how long that Grubauer will be sidelined for with the COVID procedure. So, I mean, he needed a rest.
Right.
He was playing so much. I think the only one playing more than him was your guy with Vasilevskiy. And kind of in the same situation, like if anything were to happen to Grubauer, much like if anything were to happen to Vasilevskiy, both those teams would be in trouble.
Yeah.
Maybe the Avalanche a little bit less so now that they did pick up Dubnyk, not saying he is like, you know, the answer, but he can hold the fort down for the next couple of weeks. And they also picked up Jonas Johansson, who's playing better. So yeah, I mean, it could be the Avalanche are in a good spot though. So it's not all doom and gloom for them with him going down. Any thoughts on him?
Now, would you imagine, do you think that Vegas is like foaming at the mouth now thinking like they have a chance to take that number one spot? Or do you think Dubnyk is good enough for them to at least hold down the one spot in the West?
Well, it's one of those things where Vegas, yeah, I mean, they could be looking at it as like, if we take care of what we have to take care of,
mm-hmm.
Maybe we can, because they're not that far behind. Are they four points behind them?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, they still have a couple games against each other. So it could be a very interesting, it's not the two games that they play against them are not the last two games of the season, but they are pretty close. So, it could make those games a little interesting depending on how Dubnyk plays. And it'll be interesting to see how much of a leash they have on him because, Jonas Johansson has played relatively well. I don't think many people expected much from him, but he's improved every game he's played so far. So, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting couple weeks. And I think Avalanche fans are okay because they know they're in a good spot. You know, they have a playoff spot pretty much locked up. And when they get Grubauer back, he will be more than rested, which he needed. And it'll be right before playoff time. So I think they're okay. I think they're feeling okay. So, all right, let's get to one of our sponsors of the day. And then we'll talk fourth place teams. I mean, get excited about fourth place teams. So this is a new one. This is so this episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life, Adam. Are you paying attention? Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, which is right around the corner, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, or if you're remodeling your parents' childhood home that you lived in Mets colors and you want to apologize. They are the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com, or just search the words 10 by 10. This collection features high quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and fairly priced so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring, she'll treasure it forever. You're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around long. Find them now by searching the words 10 by 10 only at BlueNile.com. Okay.
Well, then,
as we move forward. So we have the, you know, with the way that this season is shaping up, we knew they were going to be, and they always are for hockey. There's always good races to the end to get into the playoffs. And as a quick reminder, the way the playoffs are working this year, the top four teams in each four of the divisions make the playoffs. And each of those divisions have their own mini four-team tournament, like a Final Four tournament. The winner of that Final Four tournament in each division goes on to another Final Four tournament. And then the two teams that win that go on to the Cup, and then you have your Stanley Cup champion. So we will go through, and because now in each division, the fourth team is really up for grabs right now. And it's interesting. Most of the team that's in third place is not really worrying too much about who's in fourth place. So it's almost like in each division, one, two, and three is pretty much set. Maybe not the seeding for those one, two, and three. But the fourth team, that's still in play for a number of teams. So why don't we go through and kind of look into the crystal ball and see who we think for each division this fourth team will be. And why don't we start with our friends to the north in the Canadian division. Toronto has a tight grip on number one with 60 points. Winnipeg at 53 at number two. Edmonton's got 52. Right behind them at number three. Montreal right now is a pretty good grip on number four with Calgary. Well, Montreal at number four with 45 points. Calgary has 39. And Vancouver, who just needs to play a game at 35. So who do you think, when it all said and done, is going to own this number four spot and have the lucky draw of facing Toronto?
I think it's going to be Montreal. I mean, Montreal and Calgary are playing each other right now as we record this show, and Calgary is winning 2-1 in the second period. But I just think Montreal is just a really talented young team, and they showed us that in last year's playoffs when they beat Pittsburgh, which was, I'm still surprised that actually happened. So I would have to say at this point, I think unless the amount of games are the amount of points that separate two teams is two or three, I think that in this situation, I think that, you know, a six point lead at this point in the season, I think Montreal's got it wrapped up.
Yeah. Yeah. Most teams are at like 41, 42 games. So you're looking at another 14 games or so. And I want to check really quick, because you said that Montreal and Calgary are playing right now. I want to see if that is like how, so they're playing again. How many game season or not season, how many game series that is. So it's just a two game series. So if Calgary can win both of those, they're looking at 43 points compared to Montreal's 45, and they're right back in it.
But here's the thing. You also, with a lot of these situations, and we hear this more so in baseball with the division races, is that, yeah, they're only, like you just said, they're only, you know, three or four behind. But at the end of the day, you also need Montreal to not play well and, right, and drop some games here and there. And that's not something, and we could both agree that having to rely on another team to lose and for you to do some stuff, make some ground, that's never a good recipe.
No, that's not what you want. So, but I agree. I think Montreal is they're a good team, and I think they will hang on to this fourth spot. Let's move over to the West Division. Avalanche in first with 62 points. Vegas second with 58. Minnesota in third with 53. St. Louis right now has the fourth spot with 44. Arizona right behind them with 43. And we can throw San Jose in there. San Jose sixth with 40. Then you got LA with 38. So I think LA has a lot of ground to make up. I don't think they're there, but I think this is going between St. Louis and Arizona. San Jose with an outside shot, but I think that's a tough ask for them.
Yeah.
Where's this end up going? What do you think?
I have to say, and I wish we would have said this for last, but I think this is one of the most exciting four seed races that we have right now going on.
Yeah.
Out of those three teams, San Jose is the only team that's 500 in their last 10, which is surprising enough. The fact that we're even talking about San Jose even being in the conversation for the last playoff spot is a surprise within itself.
Yep.
I would love to see San Jose kind of come from behind and land that last four spot. But if we're being realistic here, I think St. Louis hangs on.
I mean, you would think just because of St. Louis's like pedigree and their history that they'll turn it around and they should get it. And at the beginning of the season, we were talking about this division being very top heavy with Colorado, Vegas, and St. Louis, and who's the fourth team going to be in. And that's exactly what we're talking about. But it's St. Louis that we're including in that, which is a little bit weird. I think it's Arizona is just on they've lost five in a row.
Yeah.
So they are shooting themselves in the foot. They had this thing, you know, it was theirs to lose and they've lost it. So they're trending in the wrong direction. St. Louis, on the other hand, is starting to play better, where they had a horrible March. And San Jose is so up and down. So I think it is going to go down to the wire, but I think you would have to give, I think St. Louis is that team, like if it's a game that they need to win to either get in to take number four or keep number four, you have to believe they have enough talent to rise to that occasion and win it.
Yeah. And I'm curious what you think about this. I don't think Arizona is really gunning for that playoff spot, because it seemed like at the trade deadline, there was some talk that they were going to deal away a number of guys. Notably Connor Garland's name was being kind of thrown around a lot. Do you take that as like a sign of the fact that they're not really serious about making the playoffs, or they're kind of the team right now, well, if we make it, we make it, that's great, but we're not really kind of serious about dancing with the big teams?
It's interesting because they didn't do anything at the trade deadline. So it was like, what direction are you going to go? Are you going to throw in the towel and say like, yeah, we're on the verge, but can we really hang with the big boys for, you know, a long, deep run? And if we don't think we can do that, sell off items.
Yeah.
or if we think we can, if we can acquire a couple of good pieces and make a run. And they did neither of those things.
Yeah, which is
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's really weird because I was reading a couple articles the other day where, I mean, you would have thought they would have been one of the top teams to kind of sort of be in the Taylor Hall conversation.
Yeah.
And on the other
again,
side of that,
again.
Yeah, again. And on the other side of that, it was St. Louis and Vegas out of those two teams in the West that were really serious about getting Hall. But I don't understand it, how they were the team that was really looking to sell, but you're in a playoff spot. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But and that's why I'm rooting for San Jose to get that fourth spot, just because nobody I think in our preview episode at the start of the season, I think you and I were in total agreement that San Jose, Los Angeles, and Anaheim were going to be non-factors in this division. And now we're talking about San Jose being 4 points off of that four spot. So
I'd like to see San Jose sneak in there
and
quickly, and then we'll move on. Like, making the playoffs, even though if you're not going to make a deep run, it's still attractive to free agents. You can still say, like, hey, we're on the verge, and if you come here, you can put us over the edge.
Absolutely.
They didn't do that. We'll head over to the East. Washington in first with 60. Islanders right behind them with 58. Pittsburgh right behind them with 56. Boston hanging on to the fourth spot right now with 50 points. The Rangers behind them with 46. The Flyers, which just seem to be in a free fall, with 44. And then that's it. And then you got Jersey and Buffalo. So Boston's there right now. Do they hang on to it, or do the Rangers creep up on them? And can Philadelphia do anything? I don't think so. But
Philadelphia's goaltending has been atrocious this entire season. And those couple of games that they dropped against the Rangers, in which the Rangers looked like they were playing football out there, if you saw the scores in those games. But I would say in years past, with Boston getting Taylor Hall, that would put them over the top. But Taylor Hall hasn't done anything
exactly
this season. Now, you could attribute that to the fact that he was in Buffalo and Jack Eichel being out for an extended period of time and just really nothing else to kind of compliment him on the ice. You could make that excuse for Taylor Hall, but now he's in Boston and he's only played one game. I don't believe he had any points in his debut, but we'll have to wait and see. Mm-hmm. I think this is a wait and see situation with Boston, just because you don't know what you're going to get at Taylor Hall. You don't know if maybe now that he's with an actual NHL franchise that he's actually going to play better. But the Rangers are one of those young teams that are overperforming. They're 5-3-2 over their last 10. So, and they got Mika Zibanejad back,
which is
wild. So, I think this is going to come down to the wire with this, and it's too early to call it.
It is. And I, you know, my allegiance stays with the Rangers for, you know, the East Coast. So I would love to see them do it. And the thing that they have going for them is they can score. They are, like you said, like, they are a scoring team, and Boston struggles to score. In any other year, like you alluded to it, Taylor Hall would be a great acquisition.
Yeah.
But you don't know what the heck you're going to get with them right now. Like, can he turn it around? Sure. Is it enough for Boston? The Boston's got to put some points up, and they struggle. So will that be the Achilles heel for them?
It's gonna come down to goaltending with New York. If Shesterkin could play, he's been so-so all year. He's shown flashes of brilliance and got his first career shutout the other night. But is he going to be able to sustain that for the rest of the season? That's going to be the big question.
So that'll be a fun race to watch. And then finally, the Central, we got a tie at the top in terms of points percentage wise. Carolina's in first, but Carolina and Tampa both, actually, no, I'm lying. It's a three-headed monster in terms of points.
Yeah.
Carolina, Tampa, and Florida all with 58. They are well entrenched into those spots. Who's going to be one, who's going to be two, who's going to be three? That is going to be something to watch in and of itself. And then Nashville right now has a hold on fourth with 49 points. Chicago behind them with 45. Dallas with 42. Columbus and Detroit are, well, likely out of it. So does Nashville hang on to this? Does Chicago take it over? Can Dallas put a little run together and make up 7 points?
it's the funny thing. We were talking just a moment ago how Arizona was in the thick of it and they made zero moves at the deadline. Well, that was the other kind of like what Nashville did as well. They didn't make really that many moves right. at the deadline because they, to start the deadline in the week leading up to it, they were out of it. And now they've started to play a lot better. They bullied the hell out of the Lightning the other night, winning 7-2, which was just an embarrassing game for the Lightning. But that's a whole nother podcast if you want to listen to that. Nashville really impressed me, though, that they're one of those teams that they don't care who is on the other team. They're going to go out there and take it right to you. Chicago, if they do end up getting that last four spot, then I think we could all agree that Patrick Kane should be the Hart Trophy winner because he has just been – I don't think – And maybe you could correct me. I haven't seen a player completely put a hockey team on his back the way Patrick Kane has this year, because he is the sole reason as to why we're even talking about them right now.
It is really, really incredible. And I mean, we had Chicago left for dead.
Yeah.
You know, they put out that press release to their fans basically saying, like, we're phoning it in. We're going to need to reboot, and we're going to need you to, you know, be patient with us and come along on the journey and all those things that you want your fans to accept. And they're in it.
Yeah.
They're in it. So for that reason, I would love to see them, you know, at least get into the playoffs and make a push, and anything is possible. But the way Nashville's been playing lately is fantastic. So it's just it's not that Chicago can't do it. It's just they're not peaking at the right time when Nashville is. So, but they're all really interesting races, and I think how they are right now, even though there's only a few weeks left in the season, things can happen. So, we shall see, and we're going to kind of give not predictions of what we think is going to be in the Stanley Cup, but who we would like to see, what matchups would we like to see most. But first, we're going to hear from rockauto.com. And rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. And the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section, so they know that we sent you to them. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That is rockauto.com. We are also going to hear from our friends over at betonline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, television shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up, and you can do so over at their website or using your mobile device. And when you sign up today, you will receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right. So, kind of have an idea of who is trending towards the playoffs, and we kind of set up how these playoffs work. What would you like to see? We'll throw out a couple of them that each of us would like to see. And the playoffs are crazy because within those four teams, those divisions, anything could happen.
Yeah.
So whoever makes the playoffs, it really could be anybody against anybody in the cup final. So give me one. Who would you like to see?
I guess my first matchup would be Vegas Toronto. I just think Vegas catches lightning in a bottle once they get into the playoffs, and Toronto, they have to get to the Stanley Cup finals. Yeah. They have to. All the moves that they made at the deadline, all the moves that they made in the offseason, I am more concerned for the people of Toronto, their mental health. If the Leafs don't at least get to the Cup Finals,
yeah,
I think this is their year because they have no choice. What about you, Chris?
I agree with Toronto, and if I'm gonna put Toronto up against anybody, I would want them to go up against a formidable opponent. And so because of that, I don't want to say Colorado because obviously I would want Colorado to win that. But I'll say Washington because I would want them to go. And if they win, beat a solid team so you can brag about that. Not this team that was the fourth team in and, you know, just put together a good run in the playoffs and got to the Cup final, and then you sweep them. So I think for that, I think Toronto, Washington, and on top of that, I think that would just be a really good matchup between the two.
Does Anthony Mantha put Washington over the top though for a cup run? Because I just, at the end of the day, you still have, I wouldn't say an old, but a very well experienced Washington team.
And right.
I just feel like in years past, yes, Ovechkin's kind of been able to carry them, but I don't know. I just feel like the way the format, the playoffs are, it's not like you're just going to, like, for example, if the playoffs were going to stay, if the standings are staying where they are, there's no guarantee Washington's getting by Boston because they've just the frequency of games that these teams have played each other. I feel like it's going to be, now, correct me if I'm wrong, these are 7-game series they're playing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I would have to say, I don't know. I feel Washington is just a weird team to me.
They're sneaky. They're sneaky good. Yeah, they're just, I don't know. I it's weird. Like, they're a 60-point team that I just feel like people are ignoring. And they shouldn't be because they're a solid team. So, I don't know. I think that would be a good matchup. But we'll do 3 each. So, give me your next one.
I would have to say, now I'm not, I just want to say I'm not going to pick my own team, Tampa, because A, you know, I don't want to be a homer, and B, I truly don't believe that they're a cup contender right now. I mean, they're going to make some noise if they get into the playoffs, but and when I say the playoffs, I mean past the 4-team stage, but I would have to say, I would probably have to say Pittsburgh, Edmonton. Just because I think that's something the league wants too. I think the NHL needs a Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby matchup.
You stole it out from under me. That was my exact next one for that reason, for a league reason, for something that they can promote the hell out of. Oh my God. It's the, you know, the past versus the future. Yeah. That would be, yes.
And it's time. I think with that core that they have, I think Edmonton could definitely make a deep run with now that you have McDavid, who is clearly McDavid, and then Dreisaitl, who has proven that last year wasn't a fluke, and things are starting to really come together for that team. I would have to say, that's one matchup just because, like, for the marketing potential.
Huge.
That the league, they could blow the top off of it. Huge. So I guess we agree on that. So I guess we could just fast forward to our third pick. I would say, this is a little bit of a wild card one, but I would say Florida, Montreal. I say Montreal kind of takes a further step and even surpasses the expectations that they were set even more. You know, like I stated earlier, they surprised everyone, I think, by beating Pittsburgh. And you know, now they make a little bit of a run in the playoffs and get back to the playoffs, the Stanley Cup Finals for the first time, I believe, since 93.
For Montreal?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was something like that, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's a cool matchup. I think Florida, they're ready. If there was ever a good time for them to win or actually go back to the Stanley Cup Finals, I think it's now, especially with that team, with the moves that they made that, you know, at the deadline that proved that they're in it to win it.
I'm totally going homer for this one for both of us. And nothing would be greater than an Avalanche Lightning matchup. And my team taking down your team, defending cup champs, like that would be I do. And on top of that, I just think it would be a really, really good. I think that one would go 7 games. I think both teams, like the chess match between both of those coaches, and you know, a team would win one game and then the other coach would figure it out, come back the next game and dominate. And then the other coach would figure it out and then come back. It would be back and forth and back and forth. And it would go to game seven and it would go to triple overtime game seven and take your pick. I do. I think that would be a fantastic match.
I think with just the way these two teams are structured, I do like that. I would just say, though, just the way these two teams are built, and if Stamkos is healthy, because they will have Kucherov back by then. So, and take it from me, and we spoke about this last year, just I think out of a seven-game series, if it were to go to seven, I think five of those games would go to overtime.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And then you and I would just be exhausted by
because we would be doing crossover episodes for every single game. I can tell you that.
Yeah. And I think if, and also I wouldn't give you the pleasure of if the Avs were to win that series, I would not count it as a legit cup if Stamkos doesn't play. So I'm just letting you know.
Whatever. we shall see. I mean, it could happen. That's the cool thing. It absolutely could happen. And just for to throw this out there, I would just like to see this Islanders team in there. I don't care who they play.
Yeah. I mean, I like them. I thought they were going to make a bigger move other than the Kyle Palmieri move at the trade deadline. And I really thought they were going to go all in for it. And apparently they were in talks, or one of the front runners, at least until Boston swooped back in, to get Taylor Hall. I would like to see, I think they have the team to make a run. I don't know who they're going to play. I think there's going to be at least one Canadian team in the Stanley Cup finals.
Could be, but I just like this Islander story that they were, I want to call it a fire sale, but it was, you know, they were on the verge of cap hell and had to unload, you know, they had to get rid of Devon Taves for draft picks because they couldn't afford it. And you know, that's just the makings of a disastrous season, and they've pulled it together and they are right on Washington's heels. So I would like to see them get in there somehow, some way. It'd be interesting. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's go. What you guys think. You can follow me on the Locked On Avalanche Twitter page, LOPN_Avalanche. Mr. Denker can be found at,
you can follow my personal page at AP Denker, DENKER, or you can give the show a follow at LO_Lightning. If the Lightning do end up playing the Avs, you're going to be hearing, you're going to get sick of us by the end of the playoffs.
Yeah. we'll technically be doing three shows based on that. This one, your show, and my show will be revolved around that cup final.
It would just be Locked On Chris and Adam for an entire week and a half. So,
which I'm fine with.
I'm fine with.
So that's it, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to this Thursday edition of Locked On NHL. Glad Mr. Denker could be back with us.
Glad I could be back
in his normal Thursday slot. So, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next week. Take care.